Good morning. Today's reading is the second half of the last chapter in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 onwards. There's some Bibles by the door there if you need one. And the reading will be on the screen as well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It's the word of the Lord.
Now let's pray before we look at this passage. Father God, we do pray that as we look at this passage today, that you teach us, you encourage us, and you help us to learn how to stand firm in our faith, to learn how to stand through all the turmoils and the troubles and the battles that we will face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last in our series on the book of Ephesians. So just for some context, I want to remind us again of where we've come from in this wonderful letter, especially if you haven't been part of this series over the last number of weeks. The first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul declared the unimaginable wonders of blessings that we have received through Jesus our Lord. He declared that we've been saved out of this world of darkness, of sin, of evil, and of death, and of futility. And that we've been saved into eternal life as God's adopted children. That we've been forgiven for all of our sins. It is an amazing, epic scope in these first three chapters. And Paul tells us that we are all being brought together as God's community, as his church in the world, so that he can lavish upon us the incomparable riches of his grace forever and ever and ever and ever in the new creation which he's preparing for us. It is amazing what we're told in Ephesians. The letter tells us all about a glorious inheritance that awaits us that Kent is seeing face to face right now. And so it tells us how everything that God has done for us makes the things in this life seem like trash by comparison. And Paul prays in this letter that the Ephesian eyes will be enlightened so that they may better know the hope to which they've been called. Do you need God to open your eyes, to enlighten your eyes, to better know the hope to which you've been called? Well, the last three chapters of Ephesians, they tell us how to apply those amazing truths to our lives, because these truths of God's Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, should transform us from the inside out. And we as God's people, we are to be active in this process. We should be striving to live a life that is worthy of God and this incredible grace He's given us. So let me ask, is that your central goal in life? If it is, you will often be asking yourself the question, how do I go about living a life worthy of the gospel? How do I do that? Paul finishes his letter telling the Ephesians that they are soldiers and they're caught up in an epic battle of heavenly forces. And he says, living a life worthy of Jesus involves standing firm in the middle of this battle. And to do this, he says in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. He's not saying be strong. He's saying be strong in the Lord. Find your strength in the Lord. In His power, because it is His power that will enable you to be strong. From start to finish, the Christian lives a faithful life by God's power, not by their own strength. And the good news is that God's power in each of us is infinite. In Ephesians 1, Paul wrote about God's power. He described it as His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. The power that is above every power, that rules over every atom and every being in the universe, is the power that is at work in you and in me. And it is so good that God's great power is at work in us, because we're told we're in a battle that we're powerless to win by our own strength. We look at verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The supernatural and the unseen world can seem terrifying, can't it? Because we don't have any weapons that work against it. We don't have swords and guns and other physical weapons. They can't do anything. Our muscles, our eyes, our ears are useless in this realm. Pretty much every culture in the history of this world has a belief in the unseen realm. Talk to nearly anyone in Asia or Africa, the Middle East, and they'll tell you a story. And there's plenty of stories that different Australians can tell you about their experiences of the unseen realm. And this passage confirms for us as Christians that this unseen world is real and that we're in a struggle against such invisible forces, who are led by the devil, who is determined to see us destroyed. And so how are we to even begin to engage in such a battle as this? Where do we start? Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I think one of the ways we start is to realize that we are in this war. To accept that we're a target of the devil, who is the father of lies, the great deceiver, and the enemy of all that is good. You know, I think there are times that living life in the western parts of Ukraine, people in villages there might think life is normal and going on just as normal because they're far from the front line, far from drone attacks and missiles. But I actually think each citizen there, though there may be a peaceful day, knows that there is an epic struggle occurring in the East. And this struggle would affect how they think and how they live. Perhaps they're more spending in their, more frugal in their spending, in their lifestyle. They probably change how they invest their money. They're probably not putting their hope in real estate. They probably send packages of food and support to men and women on the front line. They probably pray every day for the end of the war, for victory. They probably work harder, maybe if they're working on a farm, knowing that the bigger the crop, the stronger their nation is, and therefore more able to defend itself. And so they work longer hours than they would if the profits were just going into their own pockets, because they know there is something bigger happening than their immediate circle. At lunchtimes, you can imagine their conversations would drift to the latest news of the battle, of a village that has been lost or won, of a neighbour's son who's been captured. And so for the Christian, a healthy understanding of the struggle that we're in, that is going on in the heavenly places, will in a similar way change how we live and how we think. We'll live knowing that this age we're in is going to pass, and so we invest in the age to come. As we chat together, our conversations, they drift to talk about the saving work of the gospel in people's lives, because that matters to us. We live frugal lives so we can be generous to God and his mission, and contribute all that we can to it. We read the mission news of partners that are overseas working for the gospel, and we seek to be well trained for our own spiritual battles so that we can stand when the attacks come. If an earthly war impacts the daily lives of ordinary Ukrainians, how much more should this heavenly war of eternal consequence shape our every thought and deed? And how much more do we need to ensure that we are fully prepared to stand? So knowing this, Paul writes again. He writes in verse 13, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." The verses are clear that each of us have a responsibility to put on the full armor of God, leaving no weaknesses or gaps in our defense, so we can stand. We don't have to win ground in the battle, but we have to hold our ground. And notice it says we need to be able to stand after we've done everything. The everything is that preparation, making sure our gear is on and we've been trained for battle. In 2 Samuel, we read about King David's 30 mighty men. And two of the strongest, of the 30, there were three that were the best, the strongest, the most mighty. And of two of the strongest, we just get little snippets of stories. I'll show you a couple of them. Next to him was Eliezer, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pasdamon for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eliezer stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eliezer, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. If we stand, putting our trust in God, God brings about a great victory. Our job is to stand firm, to not buckle or flee or give way, to change direction or to surrender. Even if others are melting away around us. So right now, if I ask you the question, let me ask, how battle prepared are you? Let's spend some time looking at what it means to be prepared for battle, and then you can do your own assessment of yourself. Verse 14 says, see if I got it. No, I'll read it. If you've got your Bible there, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist and with a breastplate of righteousness in place." First, we need a belt of truth around our waist. The Roman belt was used to gird up the loins, to tie up loose clothing so that it wouldn't become a trip hazard when fighting. There's nothing worse than tripping on your own clothing in a sword fight. Consider how important the truth is. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit." It is by the truth that we're included in Christ. In chapter 4, verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. It is through speaking the truth that we grow up in Christ. And so because we're saved by the truth into the truth, we must embrace the truth in all things. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:25, he says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor." If truth is not important to us, all truth, we are like a warrior with no belt who will stumble and fall over his own garments in battle. We will not be able to stand firm in battle. Are you wearing a belt of truth? Or are occasional lies something you have made peace with? Well, the next element of being battle ready is wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Now, though we've been saved entirely by the righteousness of Jesus, though we're fully justified in the eyes of God here on earth, to properly stand firm in our faith, to properly engage in battle, we need to live in accordance with the righteousness that we've been given. You see what Paul writes about the importance of righteousness for Christians. He says in 4 verse 17 of Ephesians, "You were taught to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its sinful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." 5 verse 3 spells it out in more detail. "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or greed, nor obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." The breastplate, it protects a soldier's vital organs, his heart, his kidney, his lungs, his liver. If we do not live righteous lives, but we get mired in impurity or greed or so on, our vital organs are exposed to the attack of the enemy. How are you going in righteous living? With regards to impure thoughts or habits or patterns with what you watch or read or listen to, how are you going with regards to greed for more stuff? How do you know if you have trouble with greed? Probably the answer to the question is, how generous are you to God and to the poor? Being generous isn't buying your best friend's coffee or dinner. Being generous to God and to the poor is a measure of whether we are greedy or not. Well, what do we need on our feet? We read, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." What shoes do you wear? We need shoes that are ready to go. A soldier needs to go where he's commanded and to do what he's commanded to do. Christian soldiers have to take the gospel of peace to others. It may seem counterintuitive, but the way we stand and fight as a prepared soldier is by going and telling the good news of the gospel of God's peace to the world. Are you ready to go? Do you have a ready answer for the hope that you have in Jesus? Are you prepared and alert to opportunities? I had a physio appointment the other day. The physio was talking to me about a friend with identity issues post the Olympics, post training for the Olympics and being in the Olympics. And she sort of collapsed after it. And she said, so she told her friend, she wrote, told her friend to write a list of all the things that makes her valuable outside of swimming. And I said to her, all of those things on that list are dust and shadows. Because the only foundation for our identity that can matter, that is permanent and secure, is the knowledge that God loves us. And then I said, of course, the question for you and for your friend is to find out whether that's true or not. Did that get a little awkward? A little bit? But so what? We should be more concerned about someone's eternal life than an awkward moment. Do you take those opportunities when they arise? Do you pray for them to arise? I'm not always ready. I'm not always taking those opportunities. But I need to be, and you need to be. Otherwise, people we meet will remain in darkness without the knowledge of the light of Jesus. Well, next, the other way we prepare ourselves, we need a shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil's weapons are typically words. You see that in the Garden of Eden, right? He used words. Words of accusation, you're no good, God doesn't love you. Words of doubt, God isn't real, God hasn't saved you. Is the gospel really true? Can you really trust the Bible? And words of temptation. It's not really a sin. It's okay to accept this little sin, just that little one. You actually deserve it. Everyone else does it. And so on. But faith, or our trust in God's word, our trust in God, it's like a shield that enables us to put out those fiery darts of the devil, those fiery words that seek to destroy and devour. If we don't know the word well, we go into battle with no shield. We need to know God's word. Next, we read in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I think we can understand the helmet of salvation to be that knowledge that our salvation is secure. This knowledge protects our mind from doubt and fear. The knowledge that we're saved means we can go into battle with courage, knowing that the victory is already won by Christ. Paul, when he wrote this, he was in prison. He knew he was saved for eternity, so he could have courage in prison. He had the helmet of salvation on. We are forever safe as God's people, and the devil and his servants can do no harm. We know that if our earthly bodies are destroyed in the battle, our soul is secure and we will receive the resurrection. Does that knowledge of your salvation give you courage to make sacrifices for Jesus? To go maybe to far off lands fitted with the shoes of readiness? Maybe to be mocked or despised in your local communities? Well, those things are our armor. What about our weapons? Our only weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because as we speak God's Word, the Spirit is swinging it about like a sword. The sword is cutting the chains of prisoners. It is freeing slaves. It is causing the powers of darkness to flee. In Hebrews 4, we read about some of the power of God's Word. The Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So as we speak the Word, it cuts right through the lies of Satan that bind people. It cuts away resistance and hatred of God. It breaks through hearts of stone and granite. So it means we should disregard the words of Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. We should always use words, and we should accompany those words with good deeds that provide a good fragrance that goes with the gospel. Do not be ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus at every chance, because it is the sword of the Spirit. Do not keep your sword sheathed and hidden. And finally, we read in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Does that look like you? Does that describe you? Do you want to change if it doesn't? We want to be equipped, don't we? Ready to stand, and all of these things are things we want to equip ourselves with. What steps can we take today in our life, in our prayer life? Will you determine, along with me, to want to be a soldier who is prepared for battle? Someone who can do what needs to be done in God's strength. Are you willing to make changes, to improve, to get better, to strive with all of your heart to live a life that is worthy of the glorious gospel that has been poured out upon us? Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you help us to play our role in being prepared to stand, and being dressed as that soldier, fully armed for battle. Help us to take that seriously, that the war that we're in, the battle that we're in. Lord, we thank you that we know that victory has been won through Jesus on the cross, and we have great confidence in that. But Lord, that we have a role to play in the mopping up. Lord, in reaching others for Christ, in standing firm in our faith, in bringing glory to you. Help us to be the soldier that is prepared and equipped. Lord, today perhaps you've pointed out things in different people's lives here. Lord, we pray that you've raised things in each of us. Help us to determine to take action and to change, to grow, to take steps. Lord, we want to be that praying community, Lord God, praying in all occasions in the Spirit. Lord, we want to be that community that wields the sword of the gospel, that takes every opportunity to swing, to share it, that people might be delivered and freed. Lord, we want to be a holy community where our hearts, our key organs are protected, because we're not falling into sin and stumbling all over the place. We want to be people who hold on to your truth and don't stray from your truth, whose belts are tight so that we don't trip up. Help us to be secure in the salvation you've won for us, to have that helmet firm on our head. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.